Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Okay, folks, we are Reclaiming the Republic. As I end every show, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we do need your help. And we're heading into a 2022 election. We've done everything we can, barring actually having access to former President Trump, and who would be current President Trump if we had access to him. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you go to our petition page, I am telling you that that petition and that lawsuit that Bob Schultz has initiated, We the People founder, Bob Schultz, and I forget the other gentleman's name, forgive me, but they have an active lawsuit that would get Trump president. I've stressed this with state legislators, and I've stressed this with a lot of people when I have access to their time and having these conversations, and I beg them to please go look at this and get people informed, because they're all running around, and rightfully so, like chickens with their heads cut off, because the Biden administration is using all of the fingers and tentacles that the federal government has to go after the state's economic sources, such as in South Dakota, they're going after their timber industry, which is having a massive attack on their economy. They're basically shutting down breadwinners for their families, It's not only unconstitutional, this is despotic. It's that simple. It is despotic. So anyway, if you go to the petitions page on Reclaiming the Republic, you will find the lawsuit and the facts behind the lawsuit. This has to, if you want to at least buy some more time until the end of, if President Trump becomes president again, this will get him there, get us to the next election. But I'm telling you that this is just a temporary fix. We have to get Republic Review moving. We need your help in every manner and every way in fighting evil. You may think that it's really important to earn that extra dollar. You may think it's really important to, take that quality time, to have your vacations. We are at war. And I've said this before, and this is why I made this comment last week in a different episode regarding the plane ride that I had, sitting in first class talking to somebody else that was a biological engineer, very educated lady, a single mother, but was kind of apathetic politically and both religiously. Obviously, and I think that she was probably brought up in a very, Christian home and so forth, but she just didn't learn and understand a lot of these things that I was telling her. And it was just like, there's no doubt in my mind, it was, lights coming on, like a strobe light, pow, pow, pow. So anyway, as she mentioned, as she was listening to my background and, how my family, we just turned off the television. We stopped watching Fox News. We stopped watching the news, period. And we're trying to focus all of our time. We don't even have vacations. I tell people this. We don't have vacations. We stopped having vacations a long time ago when we realized that a vacation hinged on a few critical little things, such as your air, the travel itself, your experience and so forth. You don't have to go on a vacation to get upset with marginal service and those types of things and waste the money and your hard work in doing that. And so I'll get into the philosophy of stopping, quit having vacations, because we don't have time anymore, friends. We are at war. If you understand what is at stake, then you have to understand that there's just no time for the personal niceties in life anymore. This is why we have to become very tenacious in focusing on saving our Constitution. It kind of came up yesterday in engaging with the Constitution Party leadership, or a leader, I should say, the chair of Missouri, Paul Venable. And we were talking back and forth about what's going on and so forth, and I mentioned, or actually he mentioned, that we needed to have an awakening. Friends, the awakening has occurred, but there are two sides of this awakening. There's a separation between the spiritual awakening and the awakening of saving the Constitution. Why? Because when the framers recognized England was, you know, coming after them, or when they were going into war for the Declaration of Independence, these sovereign states put aside their spiritual differences and they united on the fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. It's the same thing today. We have to put aside go through your own spiritual awakenings. I'm not saying that we need to stop praying. We need to elevate the morality and spirituality, but we also need to elevate on the political side of this spectrum, because we're not a theology. And the last thing we want, because if we want the Lord to help us, we can't do it based on one specific doctrine. And this is why when I look at evangelicals historically over the past 30, 50 years, and we look, I'll just give you one example, the Romney campaign. The Romney campaign was scuttled, and he would have won that election. Go do the count. They say that there was about 11 million evangelicals that refused to vote for a Mormon. Okay, great. That means we got 4 more years of Obama. That is specifically what that means. And if you do the numbers count, and I've gone over this before, and I'm not going to get into it now because we got to get into the Republic Review. My point is that these people that put their theology first are being divisive, and how can we be blessed by the Lord? He wants us to put aside these theological differences. And the evidence is right there, because he blessed the framers of this nation so many times whenever they did that, when they came together on two fundamental principles, and it had nothing to do necessarily with a direct doctrine of one faith or another. It had everything to do with all people should be free to choose. To be able to choose which God, which creator, which commandments, what they want to do. And this nation was built upon those two principles of liberty and sovereignty. So, yes, we've got it. The awakening has begun. There's plenty of people out there that says, but they're, and this is why I keep on going down this path of saying, okay, but when you get to get engaged in this country, you have to get up off your knees and you have to act. You have to actually start doing things. And the biggest thing you have to do is putting aside your differences and your self-interest. And, you know, already dealing with that self-interest with all of these different organizations out there. You know, and I poke the John Birch Society all the time, because they won't play with anybody else. They want to say they're the champions, but they are the epitome of the divisive nature that is destroying us. So there you go. There's all of these different organizations. The Eagles Forum, at least I've seen the Eagles Forum willing to put aside their differences and work together. I've worked with a few of them. The presidents, that is. But I don't have time to chase the Eagles Forum. I don't have time to chase everybody. My focus is right now is on state legislatures and public servants and getting them educated. Because when the federal government, in the next year or the next 2-3 years, whenever this emergency is going to happen, when they say that they have to put aside, because they have to put aside our Constitution. They have to go to the states and say, we're putting aside the Constitution. We're not going to be following the Constitution right now because of this financial meltdown. And we're actually going to have to scuttle it because we can't service our debt or whatever. When that day comes, the states have to actually stand up and they have to gird up their loins and they have to actually go into battle, and they're going to have to actually fight the federal government to tell them they have no authority to do that. They don't have any authority in the Constitution to be able to put the state's compact aside. It's the state's compact. This is why we just went through all of this. And so now leading into my obligatories, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. Please, if you're looking for some quality furniture, go check out Timber Nation. And I do have my ad locals. If you're looking to get some services for your organization, go to the Patriot organization that will support you. Tell them I sent you, and they will make things happen for you. But let them know that you're a patriot organization working with Reclaiming the Republic, and I'm sure they will help you because they do offer discounting for patriot organizations. AdLocal.com. Red Pill Expo is coming up, Lafayette, Louisiana. Hope to see you there. I have a conflict because I have to go to Wyoming and I need to be down in Lafayette. So I got to find out when the Wyoming meeting is going to occur so that I can be there. And I may actually have to do a virtual for the Red Pill Expo, unless they're actually going to bring me in to speak or what have you. But that's up in the air still. Harry, I hope you're listening. And folks, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, diving into the Republic review process, and we're right now in the process of the, you know, we went into the numbers and everything else. I just had, and I want to tell you, this is why we need your help. We're going to need your money, and I'm not asking for money for myself. I'm going to ask you to send money to some campaigns, some critical campaigns that can actually turn things around. How great would it be to have in Idaho an attorney general that is leading the charge for Republic Review? How great would that be? How great would it be to have the similar types of things going on in South Dakota, where we actually have a governor that is actually in support of Republic Review and not in support of bureaucratic power over the people and over the people's representatives, such as their current governor, Noem. Yes, Noem is not a constitutionalist. She is a self-serving politician. Can she change? Yes. I don't see it happening, but we'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was saying, going into the break, we're going to need your help. We're going to need your help to actually contribute to these campaigns. As I was talking about Attorney General, as I was talking about governors, we already know about John Gentry, who's running for governor. We're still engaging. We love this guy. He loves the Constitution. He's learning. And so we're going to be connecting back with him. I just want to make sure that he understands Republic Review and this argument, Madison's position, because I understand how important the First Amendment petition is, but it is not the most powerful weapon that we have as a people within this republic. The most powerful weapon we have is when we coalesce the states together to stand up for our liberties and force the federal government into compliance with their compact. When we're living under tyranny, Yeah, the First Amendment petition could get your local government. It can even go after the federal government in some aspects. Absolutely. But it cannot force the federal government to dismantle all of its unconstitutional apparatuses and powers and roles and responsibilities and so forth that they are basically waging despotism upon us. The only way to do that is republican. That's why Madison and Jefferson didn't go and create a First Amendment petition. They didn't create a petition for a constitutional convention or a petition for the redress of grievances. The only way we can actually save the compact is by getting the parties to the compact to the table and working together using the necessary measures. And we have captured that with Republic Review. That's why, as I was talking to, and this just came up, because the numbers, people just don't understand the numbers. It takes 2/3 of Congress to pass forth a recommendation to amend the Constitution of both houses, 2/3 of both houses, to recommend an amendment to the Constitution. And then for that amendment, for that new role, responsibility, or power, or the removal of a role, responsibility, or power, or fixing a deficiency within the Constitution, those are the only three reasons for an amendment to the Constitution. The other two reasons that why the Article 5 folks are out there is really more to either rewrite the Constitution or to create a bureaucratic process at the expense of the states. Both are very destructive. Unfortunately, there are way too many people that do not recognize the not just the dangers, but you know what is driving the convention state folks, the leadership and so forth. So anyway, moving forward, as I was, talking, and as we've been laying this out, with the 2/3 of both houses of Congress to do that, or with the 3/4, we don't need that. As a matter of fact, what did it take for the federal government to create the Department of Home, which now became the Department of Interior in 1849? They realized really quick, now that the states were sleeping at the wheel, they could actually do anything that they want as long as they used a majority and as long as the courts, the federal court, protected them. Because everybody believed that all problems needed to be solved through the court. Well, then we had a civil war. And then Lincoln perverted the concept of the compact, perverted everything that Madison had stated. And that probably has more to do with his illiteracy than anything else. But the point is that what we're dealing with today, what we're looking at today, is we only need a simple majority to dismantle all of this. We need a simple majority of states. We actually have to have 27 states all on board. When I say all on board, that means that the Attorney General, the Governor, and the state legislators all need to be on board with Republic Review. Now, there are going to be some Democrats that are going to be in these 27 states. The only way we're going to get rid of bad players and Democrats is people to start understanding the Constitution and exercising Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So every time a Democrat stands up and refuses to remove somebody because they have failed to fulfill their oath of office in supporting the Constitution, then they too must be removed. You understand, this is Section 3 is a house cleaner. It's almost like that little feature on the ovens years ago in self-cleaning. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a self-cleaning process as long as we have enough constitutional. This is why you need to get this word out. You need to help this message grow. We're really, really at a point where there's no other solution. There's lots of people talking good games, and there's lots of people throwing out nice pithy comments and analysis. Great, great. These conservative entertainers, they're brilliant. They're brilliant business people. Look at what they've been able to do with their own business. Now I'm moving forward, so we're getting into this the final processes, the final throes of this. Now, what we just covered was we were just covering the directives coming out of the decommissioning and out of the basically this dismantling and what's the name of the committee? The Dissolvent and Decommission Committee. That's the name of it. I don't have it in front of me, so I had to look it up. And so What we now have is we now have the RRPs that are identified as useless, such as education, will be dissolved within a specific established timeline. In other words, it will be scheduled, but we're not shutting the lights off and firing people tomorrow. We need to give, and I think this is the most humane way to do this. These people are going to be upset. There's going to be a couple million people that are employed by the government, and there's people that are receiving benefits, receiving retirements and so forth from the federal government that's all unconstitutional. The federal government didn't have the power or the right to be able to, you know, create a job back in the 50s for health and education and welfare. So there are people that have retired using this unconstitutional position and these unconstitutional powers, and they're not supposed to. So they're going to learn that they're going to have to figure out something. So we need to figure out and actualize what it is so that those people don't get harmed. But those people who are close to retirement today that are working in a role, responsibility, or power that is absolutely and just outright repugnant to the Constitution and unconstitutional, they're going to have a wake-up call. And unfortunately, we're going to have to try to figure out how to actualize that. We can't protect everybody. And it's not our job to basically go around and clean up our child's mess. Bottom line, our child's mess overreached its bounds, and there were plenty of other governments that were willing to. And as a matter of fact, we have a standing to probably sue China and sue all of these other states to say, why were you engaging in these fraudulent loans with these communist perpetrators in America? You had to have known that they were violating the Constitution, and we believe you're duplicit. We believe that you were working knowingly working in trying to basically destroy our constitutional republic by bankrupting us. And there we have it. There we have it right there, folks. So we actually have the high ground. We actually have the position to go after the world for trying to destroy us and to say, we finally woke up. Now, instead of living this paradigm that we've been living for 150 years, we're now positioning the United States to become the beacon for all states to come and work in becoming a part of the United States. This is how we dismantle the UN. We dismantle all of the globalist plans of moving us into this global state of communism. Going back on into the process here, congressional resolutions must include a conclusion that the creation, formation, and establishment of each RRP in these directives, so each directive will be going after education, one issue at a time, and that each RRPs were created as a strict violation of the Constitution, failing to get the state's authorization. In the ratification process of the Constitution was clearly asserted by the delegates explaining the Constitution that the states must delegate each role, responsibility, and power to the general government. Consequently, as deemed by the Republic and in accordance with the U.S. Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, each of the RRPs that are identified as violations must be dissolved and or decommissioned per the prescribed schedule provided by the Republic and the Republic review process. The 10th, actually it's the 11th paragraph probably the 9th for you, the Amendment Recommendation Committee. If by remote chance, and I think this is where we hit it, if by remote chance the 38 states join the Republic review process, and by even a more remote chance the 38 states, all of these 38 states would desire to retain any of the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, such as the Veterans Affair or the CDC, the committee will provide the sitting Congress guidelines and parameters to help them efficiently and effectively author an amendment. So that's what will be coming out. So that one line that you see, the recommendations for amendments, that the parameters for that is going to, we have to have 38 states in Republic review, and we have to have 38 states that all agree that this administration, for such as the Veterans Administration or what have you, those types of things need to be retained by the federal government. I tell you, the Department of Defense is the one that should be. We already have a Department of Defense. They're the ones that should be attending to the veterans. They created the contract. They're the ones that abuse the veterans. They're the ones that should know what the veterans need, because they're the ones that did it to them, and they should be there taking and basically suckling and administering the necessary support for those who they have harmed, or for those who have, not they have harmed, but who have been harmed under their wing. Anyway, so moving on, to be clear. So here it is, and this is the red text that I was talking about. To be clear, the amendment process is outside the Republic review process. Now, this is red text for those John Birches who are misleading people, that they say, oh, well, Republic review is this backdoor process to an Article 5 convention. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with amending the Constitution, but we're going to get into what's going to blow you away when you start realizing what Republic review can truly do when the states assert their authority. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, moving forward, we want to kind of get through this today because there's a few other things we need to get into. Like, what do you do? How do you get involved? And so the next bullet, sub-bullet, let me finish this. Going to go over the red text again. For those who need to hear this because you're doubting Republic Review because you believe a John Bircher. Now, there are many that are playing what, I'll just say, okay, so we have been manipulated in so many different ways, and organizations have learned to be manipulative, and this goes all the way back throughout time. The Catholic Church, as we talked about the Dark Ages, it was the Dark Ages because of their manipulation, because of Rome and the establishment, or the seizure and usurpation of Christianity. I mean, do you really believe Constantine became a Christian and converted, you know, over the battle of some bridge somewhere? Really? What happened was, and I talk about this in my first book, Constantine recognized the power of the conviction of Christianity, that here was something that offered people an eternal salvation that was to a level that nobody understood in these other mythological gods and these made-up, manufactured gods that from the Greek and the Roman Empire, even going all the way back into Egypt. This is why there has always been this desire to create this man-made God. We're facing this right now. We keep on going through humanity. Mankind keeps on going through these same cycles. And guess who always wins, who always ends up prevailing? Now, there have been big things that have caused the winning for the Creator, those who followed the Creator. Obviously, Egypt paid a huge price for not allowing Israel to go free, right? How many kids? I mean, Pharaoh lost his son. So we know that the Lord will do what is necessary when we are righteous enough and deserve it. And the Lord will free us too. And he will do it based on our willingness to work together to become a single voice and a single-minded people on the principles of liberty. The fundamental principles of liberty is the fundamental principles of Christianity shared across every faith and every boundary. Because I don't believe there's any Christian faith that believes a person must be compelled and has to be compelled into salvation. You can't. You have to do this. You got to carry the pack yourself. Anyway, so let me get back into this red text. To be clear, the amendment process is outside the Republic review process, and they will never really meet. Even though when you look at the flow chart, we have the flow chart of the amendment process is right there in its own section. But keep in mind what I just said, its own section. The Republic review process is in its own section. There are connections to it, because obviously now that you get the potter together, they can actually talk about making changes to their clay. To do that constitutionally, they have to submit petitions to call for a convention, and then Congress must convene that convention. This is why we have these all rescinded. So while the states are formed together, there can be, one, no fear that they can create an amendment constitutionally, and two, that they're not doing that, that the focus is on compliance. Consequently, all amendment recommendations forwarded to Congress will remain unresolved until the completion of the Republic review process, and the subject RRP will be given a 2-year sunset at the completion of Republic review. In other words, let's say that something that they want to keep, like the Department of Education or Veterans Affairs, is more likely one. Okay, so when Republic review is done, every RRP that is a violation must be on at a minimum of a 2-year sunset plan. Now, this is one thing I've injected that is something that's really still up to the states. They could take a 5-year. They could go 5 years in dismantling the Department of Energy. Whatever they feel is necessary. So the states will make that determination, but I'm praying and hoping that they don't make it, you know, within 2 weeks. They don't make it so short that we have millions of people that don't know where to go and they don't know what they're going to do. And so there may be a part of this process that each department is going to have to figure out what their liability that they've created by deceiving all of these people. So that then the states, and that should be actually done in the research and discovery process in Republic Review. So that, you know, once these committees have formed and now we're communicating as a political force to the federal government. When I say a political force to the federal government, that means we have 27 states. And so we're going to get into why that 27 is so important. But the fact is that as we move forward, we're going to have to understand these liabilities and determine how we can kind of, you know, reduce some of, we can't save everybody. We're not going to save everybody 100%, nor can we save a partial. All of these people who are violating the Constitution that were duped and dubbed by the federal government, oh yeah, and hoodwinked, yeah, don't worry, you're going to have a great retirement plan. Sorry, that was a lie. They don't have the authority to do what you were doing. Sorry. So that's an honest conversation that states need to honestly have. that they have to go, well, how are we going to deal with this and this? Social Security is something we all must and we're going to have to deal with because there are way too many people. This affects all of America. This does not just affect those tyrants who have been occupying the bureaucratic forms of despotic government over the past century. So anyway, so the final comment in red text is, again, the focus and commitment of Republic Review is obtaining full compliance to the Constitution from the general government before any amendment is ratified. So in other words, until there's at least a sunset plan for every violation, there is no entertaining, or at least until after Republic Review, if they want to try to skirt that. But my point is, we're going to get to something that's going to kind of blow your mind away, and we'll get to that in just a few seconds here. If, by even a more remote chance, now we're in regular text here, not red, if, by even a more remote chance, Congress fails to refuses to author an amendment requested by the 38 states, and if these states truly desire the recommended amendment, then each of these 38 states could then apply, after the Republic Review process is ended, could then apply individually for an Article 5 convention to amend the Constitution. This is because all states working in the Republic Review process have already withdrawn their application to Congress for an Article 5 convention to join the Republic Review process, as mentioned in the bullet point above, bullet point two. So keep in mind, historically, almost all amendments generated by Congress, historically, that we're looking at, only required a majority of states requesting the amendment, not a 38 state threshold. Okay, so what I just said was, if you look at all the other amendments, it wasn't 38 states that begged for prohibition. It was a good enough majority, was a third. There was enough of a momentum, enough of a movement that actually stimulated Congress in creating an amendment for this particular issue. I'm just letting you know that you don't have to have 38 states to create an amendment outside of Republic Review. And historically, it has taken less. But inside Republic Review, for it to actually go out to the federal government, we need to have that supermajority. Because if we don't have that supermajority in maintaining a violation of the Constitution, then it is a violation, and we're not going to even entertain it any other way. That's why we basically allowed this imaginary 38 states getting involved in Republic Review and saying we got to keep this power. I truly believe that you will find more than 13 states involved in Republic Review that will find like Rhode Island, will find every violation repugnant and must be removed. So, moving on, in the sub-bullet under this, it must be noted that Congress's failure, each representative and senator, to follow the recommendations from the Republic Review would be a detriment to each member's career, because the people, where they come from, who they're supposed to be representing, won't be happy. The constituents of these representatives and senators should consider replacing each in their next election. The next sub-bullet, it is unfathomable how Congress could not act to retain a role, responsibility, and power rather than see this RRP move to the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee within the Republic Review process. Now, right here, the state's path, this is red, this is a big note. The state's path for amending the Constitution within the amendment process, which is depicted in this section, is not recommended by any means. And so with that, we will be back and give you the bomb when we come back. Okay? So we're in the red, we're in the final red, and this to me should actually be green, and I'll explain when we come back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
The cat sat on the mat.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I guess the suspense, you know, that old film at 11 has kind of been holding everybody because I've been telling you there's this bomb that's going to blow you away. Now, as we've kind of gone through, one, the constitutionality, the legitimacy of Republic Review, and how Madison kind of spelled it out, but he did not go through all the nuts and bolts of how to do this. But clearly, to undo something that the federal government did by a simple majority only requires a simple majority. I want to emphasize this. When they created the Department of Home, it was 50% plus one in each house. Each house just passed it. Now, there may have been some parameters that they kind of held to a long time ago that required at least 60 senators to vote for something in creating a power or what have you. That has all been scuttled. That has all been scuttled. And as a matter of fact, what they have done to the Senate has been downright, because of the 17th Amendment, what we have allowed to do has downright moved them towards another just basically what we're looking at is an elitist form of government, an aristocracy that is beholding to the world elitist because that's where their money comes from. If you look at who buys, this is why we're going to get into the Bill of Rights for the 21st century. And what to do and how to do this. Now, when I say the Bill of Rights, people go, well, we already have a Bill of Rights. And that's correct. We have a Bill of Rights within the Constitution. But technically, the Bill of Rights was written for as a constraint against the federal government. That's got to be fixed. Every state, and we don't want to put it in the Constitution. And what we can do is we can make an amendment to the 14th Amendment that each state needs to have its own Bill of Rights. Because the states have been the problem. But right now, what we have is we do have the 14th Amendment protection in protecting our individual privileges and immunities. So let me get back, because this is our last segment. The paths, the state's path for amending the Constitution within the amendment process, which is depicted in this section, is not a recommendation by any means, because it is prescribed. It is a prescribed alternative within the Constitution, and until this is removed by an amendment, it must be included as a constitutional path for amending the Constitution. it would be, and so people look at me and go, yeah, you're a COS supporter. No, I'm a supporter of the full Constitution. And this is the catch right here. Read this last sentence to this paragraph. It would be disingenuous for an academic process not to include all existing processes. I mean, I would be lying and being deceitful. Now, in reading what Madison wrote, his fear of the convention process was very clear. This is why in his notes on nullification, I pointed this out. He didn't once mention this process because he never wanted to see it happen again, because he saw how divisive it was and the political compromises that would creep in, especially after leaving the gate and after figuring out what they could do to basically neuter this Constitution. It is subject to just absolute evil. So this is the real reason why, you know, we have to be against the Convention of States, because there's no nobility in petitioning anymore, because we can get the states to, we can get Congress via the power of the states to amend the Constitution by telling them that they need to do this. If we want to grant them a power, do you think that anybody that wants power would be quick to say, oh yeah, we'll give you that amendment if you're going to give us more power? Now, they may be apprehensive in taking away a power, but I believe they have all the powers that they possess in the Constitution are necessary and proper. That's why we went through the ratification base. That's why we looked at this. Anyway, I'm digressing. Let me finish this last red sentence, and here is the bomb. Here is what I believe is the Moab. It's the mother of all bombs. That said, as one fathoms both the technology and the contractual authority the states possess over the Constitution today, it is realistic that the Article 5 Convention can be removed from the Constitution in congruence to Madison's view of the dangers of the conventions in making modifications to the Constitution, regardless of how minute those seeking the change attempts to justify the need of a convention. The dangers will always outweigh the need. Therefore, what I just said, my friends, is if we want to amend the Constitution, we need this one amendment to remove the state's ability to petition for a convention. It will guarantee the establishment and the maintenance. Because just to be clear, we have the inalienable right, as declared in the Declaration of Independence, the right and authority as the people, when the majority of the states desire to alter or abolish their government, then it is an inalienable right. And so, and also, the states have the authority and the power to actually walk away from the union. They do it at their own peril, because then they are no longer in any form of control in basically driving what is necessary in supporting the Constitution. Because the only reason a state would leave the union is because the Constitution is being abused and their rights under that Constitution are being violated. So, moving on. In the amendment process, there is a chance that once the amendment is promulgated by Congress to the states for ratification, so I'm giving you another glimpse of how an amendment may not actually pass. In the amendment process, there is a chance that once the amendment is promulgated, disseminated, sent out to the states for ratification by Congress to the states for ratification, a state election may change the makeup of a particular state's paradigm where the amendment may not get ratified. In other words, an election could occur and the people say, no way do we want this to happen, and actually, you know, pull the rug out from underneath the drive for this amendment. So things don't happen overnight. And that's the beautiful thing about government. Or I should say, that's one of the beautiful things about government. If it's following the Constitution, things can't happen overnight. NAFTA could never become a bill and or a treaty overnight had we actually held the federal government into compliance to the Constitution. Because why? NAFTA couldn't have even been a treaty. It couldn't have been a treaty because what it was doing was it was exercising powers that were not within the Constitution. Yes, we have the ability to exercise economic treaties, but in some of the things that NAFTA did, the federal government was assuming it had these other powers, just like with the USMCA that Trump signed. That's an illegitimate treaty. Because those powers, the federal government doesn't have the powers to actually subjugate us to a different regulatory process or what have you. Those regulatory things do not exist within the Constitution. So anyway, in the amendment process, we already covered that. So 11, the adjournment process. This is an administrative process for the states to perform and document all quote-unquote lessons learned. It must be noted that, one, this process is where the states will finally have the conversation that Hamilton and Madison referred to, that the states must create barriers to guard against general government encroachments again. So we'll finally get it done. So this is why we won't need to actually worry about encroachments, because now the states will have this conversation. Now that we've got the parents back together and say, hey, you know, if you want to not have to do this again, then, you know, this is what we have to do. These barriers, number two, these barriers may result in amendment recommendation to the Constitution or common internal processes to the states or even amendments to the state's Constitution, because the states can actually create the laws and or... And so this is where we start talking about possible administrative services that we can have a committee created at a state government across every state that is constantly watching what the federal government is doing. And if this committee, you know, there's maybe a couple members, and you can make it bipartisan, I don't care. I want to get rid of that word bipartisan. I want to get rid of this concept of parties. I want to see the Constitution Party become the party that extincts parties again. And actually, people realize that we don't need parties, and we recognize how parties are divisive and fractionalizing. Anyway, so these barriers may result in an amendment recommendation to the Constitution, common and internal processes to the states, or even amendments to the state constitution. To obtain these amendments, the states will need to engage in a constitutional education campaign to help the electorate once again understand the Constitution and what things may be necessary to improve our self-government. And the states will also independently need to determine what changes within the states will require addressing the resulting changes from having the powers restored from the Republic. So in other words, hey, now that the federal government's not doing these things and taxing us, now we got to figure out, do we create the taxes and becoming the big nanny state? And this is where the sovereignty of the state comes in. If Massachusetts is going to have its way, it'll be a nanny state. Until they realize and they learn by their own lessons when they go bankrupt that they can't print money, they can't do it. And the red states will actually become thriving states, and people will start leaving just for the opportunity to work or what have you. I know it's nice to live on the beach. It's nice to live on the coastline. That's why, what is it, 70% of most of the population of the world lives within 250 miles of a coastline. Anyway, we'll get into the conclusion of this in our next episode next week, but we're going to dive into what do we need to do. I'm going to have some rants. There has been news and things that have been happening. We've got to get out, but I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help, and this information is critical. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.